Johannes gesprochen?
Right, good.
Right, good afternoon.
No, no problem. It looks like we do have a program. We can start.
Yeah, I'm just not meeting Udo, Mr. Melang, no, Mr. Jacobs.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. King. Greetings, honorable members.
Good morning, Mr. Jacobs. Good morning, honorable members.
I'm inside now, King. There is load shedding here in Acacia Park. There is struggling to get in, but I'm in now.
Good morning, Honorable April.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, everyone else.
In fact, it's hitting all of us.
Greetings, Honorable April.
Good morning, Honorable Jacobs. Good to see you.
How are you doing this morning?
I have no complaints. I'm just tired of this load shedding. It made me struggle to get in, but now I am in. I'm not going to be opening my video because I'm just scared that it may strain.
Okay.
Hey, morning. How is everybody?
All right, my leader. How's things going with that?
I know, it's a cyber.
Sure.
Chairperson? Chairperson? Chairperson?
Chairperson.
Let me call it, okay?
Oh, please.
King, I'm on board. Are we ready?
Yes, Chairperson, I've been trying to get hold of you.
No, I was listening to you. I'm using the very same gadget. It was on call. So I was answering the call, telling them to disconnect because I'm using this gadget that I'm in a meeting. Are we ready?
Yes, we can... Can start, Chair. Let me share the agenda.
Yes, I can see the agenda.
Yes, we can start, Chair.
Can you scroll the agenda up so that I can see the entire agenda? I can't
recording in progress.
At the bottom, I can see only consideration adoption of committee minutes. Go up. Okay. Thank you. Go down. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Prakin. Honorable members, good morning. The meeting is officially opened. The purpose of the meeting is to deal with the following items on the agenda, where we're going to receive, consider the second consideration and adoption of the report of the Northwest, which was conducted during March. And then also to deal with the previous minutes as well as the trip, the study tour to Germany. So the meeting is officially opened. We're going to be business-like because of other business in Parliament. I would like to request King to give us apologies or to deal with the roll call, which is item two. Over to you, Braki.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues from Parliament and from the representative of the department. Chairperson, in the platform, we've got you, the Chairperson, Honorable Kruger, Honorable Matulelwa, Honorable Mieni, Honorable Tromelang, Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Lubengo, Honorable April, Honorable Lutenjane, Honorable Nkosi Ultuli. So those are the members that are in the platform. We received an apology from Honorable Zungula. That's the apology we have received, the Chairperson. Though the minute both ministries, they did send the apologies for the minister and the deputy minister. However, I felt that because it is a committee meeting conferring the oversight report, so it was that much no need for the ministry to attend. However, we've got the PLOs and the chief of staff who are representing the department. Still on the same practice, Chairperson, I would like to make an announcement that we have learned late that Ms. Tromelang had a bereavement during the time when we were conducting an oversight in Northwest. So it came, was an oversight, and then we learned it very after effect. So we like to extend the condolences to the family of Ms. Honorable Tromelang, and we are not trying to reopen the wounds, but we want to extend condolences and also extend apology for learning it late and to pass these apologies after effect. More than that, the chairperson wrote the letter on behalf of the committee and sent it to the Tromelang family, extending those condolences. So that's the announcement, Chair, I wanted to make as the Secretariat. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Bratin, and indeed condolences to the family. We are really sorry about the loss. We are noting those apologies, but we are carrying on. The next item is adoption of the agenda. Honorable members, can I have a mover for the adoption of the agenda which is before us, and a seconder?
I move that you adopt the agenda.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. Thank you, Honorable Members. The agenda has been duly adopted and seconded. So can we move to the next item? Who is going to take us through? Smoo, over to you, my son.
Chairperson, Honorable Members, good morning. Colleagues from Parliament and the Department, good morning. Braking, do I have the hosting rights? Oh, okay. Chair, yes. We went through the report last week. I don't think we is it showing, Braking, on your side?
Yes, I can see it, Mr. Kumedi.
Thank you very much, Chair. What we'll do this time around, since we went through the report, we sort of glanced through it last week. We'll just go through observations that we have made after having received the preliminary report from CIFA, responding to our report, Chairperson. And we'll also go through recommendation by recommendation towards the end of the report. I'm not sure, Chairperson, if that approach is okay. Should I go ahead with that kind of approach?
I think you are right. We read the report, just highlight certain issues because yours was to consolidate it from the first draft. So, Correct. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you very much, Chairperson. So, in terms of the committee observations, Chair, following the Northwest Oversight Visit Initiative supported by CIFA and CEDA, the Portfolio Committee has made the following observations for consideration by the Department. The first one, Chairperson, after the committee visit in Northwest Province and directives from the committee members to collate more information and data about some of the projects and programs, the Chairperson wrote to the Department and CIFA requesting supplementary information to enable the committee to make an informed judgment and plan the next steps regarding some of the projects. Chair, this refers to a letter that you shall have drafted to the Minister of Small Business Development, where you also CC'd the DG and the Chairperson of CIFA Board. 9.2, the committee further notes that a scheduled meeting with intermediaries who did not partake in the oversight visit as invited by the committee was postponed at the behest of the minister in order to allow CIFA sufficient time to prepare its report. The intermediaries are Intellimatch Financial Services, Brighton Capital, Forward Finance Accelerate, and Enable Capital. The committee has since received the CIFA report and has taken note of the responses provided therein. The report, I believe, Chairperson, it was shared by the committee secretary last week. Some of the observations here are alluding to that report, and also the recommendations, we are also alluding to that report. 9.3, during the oversight, members of the committee expressed concerns about a number of issues regarding CIFAR's wholesale lending program and stated that in its current formulation, the program contains too many ambiguities and does not appear to support the agency's original objectives and aims of facilitating financial inclusion. Some of these concerns are referenced in the CIFAR report, the same report that we received last week, but not adequately addressed. With respect to wholesale lending, these are the observations that members have made. The first one, the sample of the intermediaries under observation do not comply with the lending procedures stipulated in the National Credit Act. They charge the interest rate beyond the required limit for a developmental credit. Committee members were not impressed by the Small Enterprise Foundation reported 29% interest rate against a survivalist business venture trading as Flour Maize Tuck Shop. The committee also took note of the purported rate of interest imposed against Vault M Technologies. This is one of the recipients that was funded by Brighton Capital. The second one, based on its own calculation, the committee observed that intermediaries increased the cost of credit for the recipient or end users who are ultimate CIFAR beneficiaries. According to CIFAR, intermediaries obtain prime lending rate plus 3 to 5% on average, but charge double or triple what CIFAR charges. CIFAR does not specify the rate at which intermediaries should unlend. It also does not set or determine the percentage of markup. CIFAR does not supervise or monitor the rate of interest the intermediaries charge their clients. It sees this as a unique responsibility of the regulator, which is the National Credit Regulator. However, the shortcoming is that the regulator often reacts or investigates only when a complaint is filed against the credit provider. So if there is no complaint forthcoming, there is no one who will take initiative or responsibility to investigate if the intermediaries are lending according to the Act. The fourth one, some of the projects funded by intermediaries do not conform to CIFAR's mandate of supporting small enterprises as defined in the National Small Enterprise Act. For instance, funding of the school. Besides monthly or quarterly reports that intermediaries submit to CIFAR, the agency does not actively monitor or verify the authenticity of information it receives from the intermediaries. When it selects RFIs and MFIs to partner with, CIFAR does not impose any conditions such as BBBE standards and transformation agenda that each intermediary must comply with. As a result, the majority of intermediaries on the CIFAR database are white-owned. Intermediaries themselves are not obliged to support government transformation efforts, yet they are given free pass to public purse. Number six, the committee notes CIFAR's annotations in its report that National Credit Regulator certification, in terms of the National Credit Act, requires that all financial intermediaries that lend all the CIFAR funded intermediaries that lend are registered with the NCR and comply with the regulations and report to the NCR on the performance of their lending activities. This is now quoted intermediary entered into an agreement with the agency when it is not licensed as a credit provider by NCR. Furthermore, the CIFAR submission does not comprehensively inform the committee about how Forward Finance Accelerate entered into a similar agreement with the agency, despite the fact that it does not have a license from NCR. the committee's initial report incorrectly identified Forward Finance as the intermediary that funded Nyami Berries Pty Ltd. Of course, the fact that these are independent legal corporations owned by a single director is strange. Moreover, the agency's responses do not deal with the committee's concerns about Nyami Berries. These are concerns, honorable members, that you shall have raised in your preliminary report with regard to Nyami Berries' ties to Australia, whether this company is a subsidiary of an Australian firm. The committee still has limited information at its disposal. As a result, it is left to speculate and unable to adequately discharge its responsibility to examine FIFA's programs as mandated by the Constitution. Unlike direct lending, where FIFA recipients benefit from affordable interest rates and blended finance, intermediary clients are not extended that same courtesy. The committee notes and welcomes the filing of a criminal complaint with the South African Police Services under case number S409/4/2023 for further investigation in terms of the Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act following its preliminary report. However, it is still unclear against whom the criminal complaint is filed between the two directors of Kings and Queens Heart Pty Ltd or Intellimage Financial Services or both directors. To date, the committee has no idea whether the company is or it, if it even exists. During the oversight, attempts to trace both the financier and the receiver were unsuccessful. Once again, the FIFA report does not go into great length on the committee's concerns about the nature of the due diligence performed when Intellimage Financial Services was approved as one of the MFI or RFI. Little is known about this intermediary because of FIFA's reluctance to provide additional information as directed by the chairperson on behalf of the committee. Chair, you have now written two letters where the initial letter was to request information around all the intermediaries that the committee had intended to visit in Northwest. On our way back from Northwest, we also wrote another letter where we requested specifically profiles of the intermediaries. We specifically stated that Intellimage Services should also furnish the portfolio committee with the profile and report from CIFA indicates that there is a case at SAPS that have already been laid by the agency. Then 9.3.10, some intermediaries like Ezimali Africa Pty Ltd, Intellimage Financial Services Ltd and others qualified as CIFA intermediaries immediately after licensing. This cast doubt on the effectiveness of recruitment process because CIFA policies and guidelines stipulate that prospective MFI and RFIs must have a minimum of 2 years lending experience. For instance, as a Mali Africa Pty Ltd is a four-year-old company registered in 2019, it was granted a credit provider license by NCR in February 2021. It is unclear when CIFA granted it approval to operate as an RFI or MFI because by the same year in 2021, it was licensed by NCR. It had already started issuing out loans. As previously stated, the committee is not given much information to enable it to carry out its responsibility regarding this particular one as well. The committee observed that there are very good projects funded by intermediaries. Vault Amp Technology Pty Ltd is one such funded by Brighton Capital Pty Ltd. It is a business that ticks all the boxes. However, as noted above, its repayment interest is in excess of 22%. And by virtue of having been funded by an intermediary, it does not qualify for a grant portion benefit identical to the companies that are funded under direct lending by CIDA, by FIFA, I'm sorry. 9.4, in terms of direct loans, the committee visited Lonaga Project Group and Mahikeng Meat Market. The committee found significant differences between the two projects. Lonaga has the lowest funding but is fully operating, while Mahikeng Meat Market received the largest portion of the CIFA loan, although it is not operating owing to poor due diligence. Both initiatives benefited from blended finance and low interest rate. In response to the committee's preliminary conclusions, CIFA equivocates the committee's primary concern over the nature of the due diligence conducted and who must be held accountable. This is now based again, honorable members, on the preliminary report that we considered 2 weeks ago, where the issue of the due diligence was specifically mentioned. Then 9.5, members of the committee observed that CIFA does not even know the exact location of the project it's funded. Impairments and loan write-offs are still very high because there is no post-investment support and monitoring to conduct early detection, analysis, and proactive management of troubled projects. Yet CIDA is present across all provinces. On informal traders support program, the committee visited 2 projects funded for 3,000 rands. Members noted that funding amounts between this program and the spaza shop support program were not the same. While informal traders received a once-off grant of 3,000 rands, spaza shop owners got 3,500 rands plus top-up of 7,000 rands. 9.7, the committee also paid a visit to the spaza shop grant facility beneficiaries, 3,500 rands at the height of the COVID-19 outbreak in 2020. This is according to the evidence submitted to Parliament. CIFA, on the other hand, later made the strategic decision to increase the size of this fund to 10,500 rands. All spaza shop grant facility participants had their remaining 7,000 rands sent into their Nedbank Mobi Money wallet as early as March 2022. While some, particularly those visited by the committee, have acknowledged the receipt of the remaining sum, others have even contested the initial payment of 3.5, reported to have been made in 2020. During the oversight, the committee was assured that all payments were made to the recipients on or before the 31st of March. In fact, Chair, this is supported by the information that was submitted to Parliament. However, the committee has conclusively established that information provided by CIFA to Parliament in preparation for the oversight visit to Northwest contained a number of errors with beneficiaries of this other shop grant facility program. For instance, in May 2023, this is last week, honorable members, Mr. Ferris of VDC Development and Services, PTY LTD, has only been called by Nedbank to collect the Mobi Money wallet card. However, the card had no funds at the time of the Nedbank call. Mr. Ferris is adamant that he was never funded, but his name was submitted to Parliament as having received 10,500 in March 2022. He confirmed that he has used the same mobile number since submitting his application. Ms. Regina Khosimang of Khuthatso Trading, Khosimang Pty Ltd, has never had any interaction with CIFA, yet her name is on the list of beneficiaries submitted to Parliament as having received 10.5. Her number has not changed since she filed the application. So is Mr. Stephen Mutubi of Lesitang Trading and Enterprise Ltd. He claims to have never been funded by CIFA. Honorable members, this is a sampling of purported claimants from the Northwest province who did not even receive the 3.5 preliminary payment in 2020. If this is correct, the committee is very concerned because, as a state organ, CIFA has a number of checks and balances in place. For instance, it has an internal audit, it has an audit committee, there is an accounting authority stroke the board and so on, that ought to have detected that the management is supplying incorrect information to Parliament. 9.10, the committee takes note of CIFA's report, which concedes that 504 beneficiaries are yet to receive the additional 7,000 rands in their closed loop purchasing card. Despite having assured the committee during the oversight that all beneficiaries were paid on or before the 31st of March 2022, this is regrettable because this concession comes only after Parliament discovered through its oversight mechanisms that some spaza shop recipients have not claimed or have not been allocated their remaining 7,000 rands after more than a year. The committee noted during the oversight that most of the challenges faced by spaza shop owners across the country are almost identical. The owners raised concerns of large retailers encroaching on their space, businesses owned by illegal immigrants, high transportation expenses, criminality, ongoing energy crisis, and lack of customers and financial wherewithal to do bulk buying. Some were grieved that the Somalian store owners, who are not even registered, have the means to purchase in bulk and hang on to people's SASSA cards, an irregular behavior that an ordinary South African shop owner cannot even begin to comprehend or implement. Some noted that the government is not quick and responsive enough to tackle some of these challenges. 9.12, most of the recipients the committee interacted with welcomed the program. However, they noted that the 3.5 allocation was far too small, given that the program only identified stores and wholesalers in Zeerust, Rustenburg, and Klerksdorp. As a result, store owners in Mafikeng, Lichtenburg, and elsewhere had to pay more for transportation costs. The committee had also intended to meet with Pula Credit Guarantee recipients. The scheme offers lenders a selection of credit guarantee packages for SMME borrowers whose access to credit is restricted by the lender's requirement for collateral. The committee noted in its preliminary report that Ms. Cindy Somahume, Mr. Johannes Ramunyane, and Mr. Boipilo Dilwane were all unavailable during the oversight. 9.14, Ms. Maume's saga is particularly disturbing because she is listed on CIFA records, including those provided to Parliament, as having been guaranteed for 736,000 under the portfolio credit guarantee, although this is not the case. Ms. Maume confirmed that she applied for COVID-19 relief funds, but her application was rejected. CIFA's internal controls could not detect this misrepresentation until the committee undertook oversight visit, where it was discovered that, in fact, she is based in Eastern Cape and she has never been a beneficiary of Pula Credit Guarantee. To date, the management has made no effort to apologize to Ms. Maume for the inconvenience this whole debacle may have caused. The committee visited several of the projects where CIFA and CEDA collaborated very well. In other projects, however, it saw a disconnected working partnership between the two agencies, particularly in the areas of handling funding applications, post-investment support and monitoring. The difficulty in establishing a seamless and constructive rapport between the two organizations demonstrates unequivocally the agency and necessity of combining the two institutions. In the past, the Portfolio Committee has repeatedly stressed the import for DSBD, CIFA and CEDA to execute their respective mandates as a unit or collective. It was therefore unacceptable to the committee to learn that there is still no two-way referral between coordination between CIFA and CEDA or between DSBD and entities. The committee further learned that while the Spaza Shop Support Program was directed from the main office in Pretoria, the provincial offices of SIFA and SIDA had little or no participation in its implementation. As a result, they were unaware of the location of the project. Several of the questions were not fully answered by the officials present in the oversight. 9.17, the committee was delighted to travel to the Northwest Province. It has frequently and still condemned uneven distribution of resources away from provinces of Northern Cape and Northwest. In value terms, the two regions receive minimal attention from the department, SIFA and SIDA. For instance, the majority of SIFA payments are made in Gauteng, followed by KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape. As witnessed over many interactions the committee has had with the department, the phasing out of grants and incentives in favor of concessional loans, blended financing, income contingent repayments, installment relief, or payment holidays, to mention the few, may have been a good policy for going concerned firms that are able to demonstrate management accounts, financial statements, collateral, and so on. The broad application of this policy approach clearly has repercussions for social enterprises such as cooperatives. The number of cooperatives supported by the Department of SIFA in the previous financial year in Northwest is not known. Both Department and SIFA could not provide this information when they were asked to do so in preparation for the oversight. The role of provincial SIDA in at least three initiatives that the committee visited was incredible. The agency is an active participant in several initiatives, having engaged service providers or incubators to build SMMEs and cooperatives. It assists with business plans, some of which, like Blossom Bakery and Distribution Pty Ltd, were funded by SIFA. And there is evidence that it provides post-investment support to its recipients. The last observation, honorable members, is parallel shop owners and informal traders have been identified as the most regulated and least protected, trading illegally due to a lack of licensing. The committee heard about the difficulties that enterprises face, including strong allegations that illegal immigrants are permit holders, while it takes ordinary South Africans more than a year to secure trading permits. In most situations, informal traders are not given with any identity proving their legal authority to sell their wares, exposing them to further harassment. The committee conducted a spot check on a container near where the MC Peño Sandra Murana container. This is one of the projects, honorable members, that we visited. You'll recall that this container is situated in Dibada village. It is situated, and the committee quickly determined that it is owned by an undocumented Bangladeshi whose permit expired in 2020. Horizontal and vertical coordination of local, provincial and national spheres of government still poses a major challenge in the delivery of small business services. Skewed imposition of municipal bylaws is still a source of major contention for the sector that requires urgent attention from policy authorities. Honorable members, on the basis of these observations and findings, these are the recommendations that the committee is making. On the Spaza Shop Support Program, the committee has noted the disorderly manner in which the Spaza Shop Support Program was rolled out. It further notes that to date, a number of beneficiaries purported to have benefited from the scheme are yet to receive payments more than a year after the disbursement was completed. The SIFA Board of Directors has a fiduciary responsibilities governed by the PFMA. Provisions of the PFMA stipulate that an accounting authority must ensure, open quotes, effective, efficient, transparent systems of financial and risk management and internal control, close quote. Furthermore, accounting authorities are required to take corrective action against officials who violate the PFMA. The board must launch an internal investigation to determine exactly what happened during this program's implementation. Where is the money that is alleged to have been paid to beneficiaries? Why recipients were not notified when the 7,000 rand top-up was effected? What should those who have lost their Mobi money wallet cards do? Proposed remedial measures to deal with these problems and clarify status for those who have not been funded at all. Where would new funding to settle outstanding claims come from and so on? The investigation's result must be presented to the portfolio committee by June 30 of this year. Second, furthermore, it is highly likely that CIFA may have misrepresented facts in the documents submitted to Parliament. On its part, the Portfolio Committee will solicit legal counsel from the Constitutional and Legal Services Office of Parliament on how to proceed with the matter. Providing incorrect information or misleading information to Parliament is a statutory offence in terms of the powers, privileges, and immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislature Act. The committee must determine if there was a willful intent to mislead or incorrect information was erroneously conveyed to Parliament. The department and CIFA should consider reviving the initiative. The majority of the beneficiaries are pleased with the program. However, transportation costs for businesses in Mahikeng, Lichtenburg and elsewhere became too expensive. Retailers and wholesalers in these locations must be identified, or informal traders and other shops must be compensated for transportation costs. On wholesale lending, honorable members, this is the recommendation the committee is making. Based on the committee's observations about how the program is being handled, such as the alleged rate of interest being charged by intermediaries, possible transgression of wholesale lending policies and guidelines, lack of enforcement and consequences, lending to intermediaries with no track record, and doing business with unlicensed credit provider, the committee has resolved that the board must launch an independent investigation to determine whether the program is being carried out within the confines of the law, policies, rules, and guidelines that administrates it. As stated in its preliminary report, the portfolio committee is concerned about the apparent cloak of secrecy surrounding the administration of intermediaries. It had previously asked investment rules or policies on which the agency would have relied on in admitting intermediaries such as IntelliMage, SMRD and so forth into the scheme. However, this and many other requests have not been responded to. The planned independent investigation must be launched as soon as possible in order to complete its work by August 31, 2023. And its results must be shared or presented to the committee. That said, the above recommendation does not preclude the portfolio committee from embarking on its own investigative procedure. The governance of state-owned entities is vested in Parliament, the executive, and the boards of SOEs. Portfolio committees have control of SOEs' service delivery performance due to their engagement in the legislative, budget, and in-year monitoring procedures. As a shareholder, the executive authority's corporate governance responsibility entails ensuring that all necessary and appropriate corporate governance structures, procedures, practices, controls, and safeguards are established and properly implemented and operate effectively in the SOE in question, from the board of directors downwards, as well as in respect of the board's accountability to the shareholder. The committee, based on the information collected from the recipients, is of the view and recommend that CIFA should intensify oversight over intermediaries. It should also consider capping the rate of interest to at least 20% and below. The board should institute its own exploratory inquiry. This is, honorable members, different from the independent investigation that we are recommending about exploratory inquiry would be to collate maybe 15 or 20 intermediaries and, you know, request that they submit the rate of interest that they charge. This should be a two to three weeks exercise to conclude. The recommendation is that the board should institute its own exploratory inquiry to establish the veracity of the claims that some intermediaries charge fees beyond what is stipulated or allowable in terms of the Act before the end of quarter one, honorable members, not quarter two, quarter one of the current financial year, the findings of which must be presented to the committee as soon as the investigation is complete, but not later than 30 June. The next one, projects or companies funded by intermediaries should be considered for a grant portion identical to companies funded by CIFA under direct lending. CIFA board must explore the practicability or financial implications of extending the same benefit to wholesale funded enterprises. Honorable members, the committee is alive to the fact that there will be financial implications if such policy were to be implemented. So the recommendation is for the board to explore if this is not doable. Then the next one, the board should consider amendments to the policy guidelines to include conditions for a dual licensing of the MFIs and RFIs by NCR and Financial Sector Conduct Authority as authorized financial services provider, meaning over and above the NCR licensing. The board must consider the FSCA registration where MFIs will be given a status of FSP, which is only done by the Financial Services Conduct Authority. The NCR licensing process has a weakness in that it concentrates on the entity or company as a juristic person, whereas the FSCA includes both the firm and the individual behind the company. The majority of NCR licensed businesses are led by directors who do not fulfill the fit and proper standards. Licensing is an important component of the regulatory framework and plays an important role in the monitoring value chain. The next one, as noted in the committee's legacy report of the Fifth Parliament, the department and CIFA lacks appreciation for the law stock firms, village banks and cooperative banking institutions in bridging funding gaps for informal traders, cooperative enterprises, and entities operating in far-flung areas in particular. The agency has not investigated or attempted to bring into the fold the cooperative banking institutions registered, licensed, and regulated by the Cooperative Banks Development Agency, Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, Prudential Authority, Financial Sector Conduct Authority, and Financial Intelligence Center. These are some of the agencies of the South African Reserve Bank. The agency's collective monitoring implies a significantly better governance and risk-based approach to managing public funds. As the CBDA's incorporation approaches, the department should, in its next quarterly report, brief the committee on how it intends to strengthen the agency's mandate and the strategy for utilizing cooperative banks to increase access to finance for SMEs and cooperatives. The next one, in addition to the investigations recommended by the committee believes that an immediate and comprehensive engagement with the department and CIFA Board of Directors is required in order to address these and many other issues of concern to the committee. The committee would also request from CIFA all necessary documentation, such as intermediary profiles, intermediary client profiles, adjudication process of approving MFIs and RFIs, adjudication meeting minutes, investment committee meetings, and so on, in preparation for this meeting. The Secretariat will communicate the meeting specific in due course. However, it should not be later than 30 June 2023. 10.5, in preparation for this engagement, the committee should also be furnished with the process or procedure followed to approve funding application for Mahikeng Meat Market Pty Ltd, the due diligence conducted an explanation of why or how the project was approved without HACCP. Equally, the procedure pursued to approve as a Mali Africa Pty Ltd must also be shared with the committee. The department and entities must broaden their understanding of the projects they support and identify gaps that require intervention in the form of additional funding, infrastructure, technical assistance, skill development and training, as well as those that require support from other state organs. CIFA is expected to have known that HACCP compliance is a technical prerequisite before it approves Mahikeng Meat Market application for credit. And CIDA does supply these services. As things stand, if Mahikeng Meat Market defaults, CIFA has no recourse against the company because it participated in reckless lending. The committee will monitor the department and quarterly reports to ensure that this recommendation is implemented. Then 10.7, the committee is concerned about the registration and licensing of small enterprises trading as informal traders, food vendors and street vendors, etc. Everywhere the committee visits, it encounters the same problem. The committee has, on a number of occasions, identified the root cause as the incongruity between the municipal bylaws and the Business Act. The department must expedite the process of the Business Amendment Bill and refer it to Parliament before the end of the first quarter of the financial year 2023-2024. If this is not possible, according to the project plan presented to the committee, which actually indicated that this is achievable, the department must submit a revised project plan with reasons for the failure to finalize the processing of the bill as soon as possible. On flour maize tap shop, the project should be considered for support when the next window reopens. 10.9, Lonaba project group requires recapitalization in order to operate beyond the break-even point. The committee is confident that with proper recapitalization, the project will quickly improve its operating profit margins and make regular payments to CIFA. The portfolio committee is in agreement that it is a kind of project that requires scale to be profitable. Last recommendation, honorable members, on Beach Engineering Pty Ltd, the committee is directing the department to look into the issue of the lease duration. You will recall, honorable members, that this is one of the projects we visited where the company has a 10-year lease agreement with Northwest Development Corporation. The department must investigate the possibility of extending the lease agreement to 30 years as the owners have requested. While the matter concerning Vince's Cyber Cafe, the present whereabouts of the industrial printer is not known. CIFA must establish its location. This is one project, honorable members, that you visited in Marikana, where the owner used the CIFA money to buy the industrial printer, but that printer was not there. We were told that the printer is in one of the internet cafes in Randburg, but no one knows for sure whether the printer is there. So what we are saying here, the provincial office must establish the whereabouts of the particular printer. And it should also draft a report outlining how it plans to resolve the matter. Honorable members, unless otherwise indicated, responses to the above recommendations should be submitted to the National Assembly by no later than 3 months after the adoption of this report by the National Assembly. So the committee can then consider and adopt the report. Thank you, Chair. Let me pause there for now.
Thank you, Smo. Thanks for the detailed report, its finding as well, its observation findings, and its recommendations. I would now invite honorable members to comment because we had those two drafts, and this is a consolidated one for consideration and adoption so that it can go and represent it to the House. Thank you, Spoo, for the a very detailed report. We really appreciate your commitment, our officials. Honorable members, are now inviting comments from your good selves. Also by raise of hands, so that if ever you feel in one recommendation, there is something which you would like to add, because the recommendations are the ones who will assist us moving forward with the department and its agencies. You will inform me, Braking, noting hands from honorable members in this regard.
Yes, Chair. There was a hand from Honorable Mchenjane, also Honorable Jacobs.
Okay. Honorable Mchenjane?
Too so far.
Okay. Honorable Mchenjane, the stage is yours, my friend.
It will be honorable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all the colleagues. And I should like to take this opportunity to thank the very detailed report from SBU. Yeah, it's very detailed, SBU. I should have never said it better than what you have done, SBU. Thank you very much for that. Chairperson, I'm not Chair, that we need hawks here. We need hawks as soon as possible. Some people must go to jail. Actually, they must be arrested and they must pay back all the money. But also, as you are asking us to add, Chair, what we are adding here is that can this committee please do further investigation in these all other 8 provinces? Because now we are done with Northwest. Now, this must be a project of this committee, that we investigate each and every people or companies, our small businesses that we are being told that they have been funded for whatever purpose. Because we are being taken for a ride here, Chairperson. We are being taken for a ride at broad daylight about SIFA. They knew exactly what they were doing. I can tell you, Chairperson, we said it last week, these people, this is an organized crime. We call this thing an organized crime. That's why hawks must come in here. We are sick and tired of being taken for a ride by this entity. Every time when we're at the meeting with them, they come here to lie to us, to lie to the Parliament of South Africa, to lie to the people of South Africa that they are busy helping our people. No wonder everywhere we are going, Chairperson, people are crying that they never received any funding from anyone. They are doing application every day. They are not being approved. So this is a serious problem. But it's an eye-opening session, this exercise of the portfolio committee to go to the Northwest. We've been also saying, Chairperson, from last year, that we are please asking for a database for the names of the SMMEs and the cooperatives that they claim to have helped in terms of funding. Till today, we are being told or we are being taken from pillar to post. We are not given what we want as a committee. So, Chairperson, there is nothing more we can say. We have a lot of companies here, like the Kings and Queens Hearts, the Ezemali, the Mahigeng Meat Market, the Nyami Berries, and this one, I don't even want to talk more about it, because this one, it makes us very sad, Chair, this Nyami Berry thing. Because in the report, as we were going through the report yesterday, I read something like the committee were refused entry by this Nyami Berry specifically. They were refused entry. You go to the government of South Africa, you borrow money, you have a related relationship with other outside countries like Australia. When we go there or the government goes there to check or to do a follow-up, you refuse them entry, but you borrowed money already. This is a very serious misconduct, Chair. Actually, it's a crime. These people are doing, have done crime. This is an organized crime from the CEO of SIFA, the CFO, and everybody all combined. They must be arrested. They must come and explain exactly to us where is the money that they have stolen.
because I can tell you, Chairperson, there is a shenanigan here. And also, we are being given a case number that does not talk to us. We are not told that in this case number, as CIFA, we are as far as here. We have done the investigation. We have asked the police who are doing investigation through, from this. And then here they are now. This is the update of the case. We don't know all those things. To open a case and then just go ahead, what does it mean? It means nothing, Chair. So, but it's fine. We're having all the details of everything what happened. Chairperson, I can tell you, CIFA, they have a lot of things to answer. The leadership, the so-called officials, those CEOs and CFOs, because the buck stops with them. They are the ones who should have known that these companies must never been borrowed money in the first place. So here we are being taken for a ride. The people of South Africa are being taken for the ride. The taxpayers of South Africa are being taken for the ride. Yet our poor people are there busy suffering. There are a lot of people who are suffering in the Northwest, if I'll say it that way. There are a lot of people who are suffering all over South Africa. Small businesses are struggling every day. They don't have money. But here we are told, they are here, we are giving the money, this and that. But here it is now today. We now know exactly what was going on. CIFA has been lying to us all along. So, Chairperson, our recommendation should be this, the Hawks must come, or the SIU, or whatever that we call it, but these people must be investigated and these people must be arrested, and they must repay all the money. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That's all I can say for now.
Thank you, my son. Thanks for those addition. I believe they are there. You are just putting a stamp on it, because our recommendation is to say those who have done wrong, let them dance the music. We are not negotiating that. I also agree with you, my son. We are not investigating other provinces. We need information. We must come up with a program on how do we monitor, who we do oversight with those other provinces. And some will go physical, to some will do it visual before the end of the term, of which I agree with you. And then the next speaker is Honorable Jacobs. Over to you. Which means when you speak, because the report is before us for adoption, you must also indicate that your move for the adoption of the report. You are in support of the report. I will be happy to hear that. Honorable Jacobs.
Chairperson, I'm in support, Chairperson, of the report. I'm very much in support of this proper report. We support this report, JFF. But consequences must follow. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Jacobs.
Greetings, good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I stand and rise in support of Honourable Mtanjani to support this report. I share the gist of his look on this one. All of us, ANC, DA, all EFF, all the parties, when we did oversight, we were unanimous about the role, the importance that Parliament has to play for oversight. So I think this is a victory for us in ensuring oversight. We brought it to Parliament. We exposed this malfeasance here. And so I think we are collectively supporting this report. For us, the Chairperson, I think there's lots of lessons here. Let me start with the spaza shops. I think, it's sad during COVID when people were promised 10,000 rand to help them with South Africans with spaza shops. And when we go around, we did a random sampling, and a lot of people said they only got 3,500. And then we thought maybe it was just an anomaly. And then we weren't happy with the answers that we got now. And up to date, still 504 of these spaza shop owners that didn't get their money. And I also want to commend our researcher, Mr. Gumede, for his diligent work on getting details, because the flimsy answers and excuses we got is not forthcoming. I mean, the answer that we got was that people had changed their phones, therefore their money couldn't be transferred, and the money, they don't have an app. It's all these silly excuses. We don't want these excuses. I think the one thing that I want to add is there must be a time frame, because while we investigate and we bring those criminals and corruptors and looters to book, we want consequence management. We share the sentiments with all our honorable members. Let's do right with our people. There is 504 spaza shop owners that's still outstanding, that still need to get their money. So let this committee make it very clear that money must be paid to our people within the next month. We must give a clear time frame, because we need to now put deposits of trust in this government. We need to ensure that people that were promised or were due to give their 10,000 rand is getting that. So I want to add that one thing, Chairperson, that we must do right with our people. Because yes, we're going to sort it out and there's going to be investigation. And this report is very thorough. And I just went through in detail this report. If we go through in detail this report, we'll begin to respond to this. But the one thing I want is the 504 outstanding spaza beneficiaries must get their money as quickly as possible. That must be added very specifically, and we want to monitor, we want to get reports even on a weekly basis on how far they've done to do. In our areas, we at the stage now where South Africans are struggling, they're registering, they all of these things, and yet informal foreign nationals are trading with immunity, with impunity. Sorry, so I think that's the one thing that I also want to add, that we need to ensure that foreign national traders are regulated. We can't say that no people can't trade. But we must ensure that they are paying taxes and they are registered with both the provincial, with the municipalities, and with the department. Chair, I also support this thing about calling all of the intermediaries, getting all of the details, getting how much are they charging our people on the interest. I also support that, but I don't know what number it is. I think it's 10.7 or something like that. But I also support that. Also, let's do that for the banks. You know, we as this committee have been calling on for all the big banks, for Absa, for Standard Bank, for Nedbank, Capitec, all the big five. We've asked them, what are you doing to create affordable finance for our people? They get money literally for free from the South African Reserve Bank. They get it for cheap. You know, they get it for underprime. And then they still make excessive interest rates on this. So we need to, I agree with this point about calling everybody in all the MFIs, RFIs, and I agree, there must be a ceiling. If it's government money, we can't just give money to Faiz Amajoni's Stockfeld, and then he can charge 30% to the people. That's not right. So I agree to that, Chair. Then there's a very specific, this Ford Finance, the Nyami Berry that was funded. This entity isn't licensed. It wasn't licensed by the National Credit Regulator. So we must charge these specific ones. Honorable Gumede, I'm actually asking us to make a list of all the, we couldn't put it here in the report, but there must be some follow-up to say, this one did this, this one did that. So we need to know behind the scenes, who's the guys on Ford Finance Accelerate, because they were not regulated, and CIFA broke their rules and gave them money, even if they weren't in the National Credit. Someone must take consequences for that, Chair. There must be who signed up for that from CEDA, and they must come and account for this matter. Isimali Africa,
It's the same thing. We need answers from that one. And also the Nova Medical Solutions. I'm sure that is captured in the report, Chair. So in short, we support this report. I think what we want to do is I want to ask all of us as political parties not to play politics around this thing. We are very clear that this thing is wrong. There was incidents where corruption was clearly identified. It points to a failure in a systemic way. But there's also good examples with CIFA. So I want to remind members that we actually went to many good places. We went to that construction guy that's making engineering electrical components so people can get electricity. He's a beneficiary of the CIFA. So I'm saying let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is a purpose, there is a need for institutions like small business development. There's a need for CIFA. There's a need for CEDA. We just need to improve it. We need to improve accountability. We need to improve systems. But we can't say that we're not going to give the 2 billion rand that government is allocating to people, to small business that's supporting that. So on that one, we can't support it. But all the other ones, I think we support this recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Jacobs. Colleagues, I'm rushing to the airport, so network might interrupt me sometimes, so bear with me. King, do we have the next speaker?
Chairperson.
Yes,
Chairperson.
Who's that?
Chair.
Yes.
Sorry, Chair, I just want to clarify, my colleague loud and clear. Chair, I support the report, not necessarily the budget for this department. I'm not supporting the budget. I'm supporting the report.
We're not talking about the budget, my son.
Yeah,
we're talking about the report.
So, thank you, Chair, because it must not look like I'm supporting the budget. Thank you.
All right. Fine.
I'm wearing a red, so they must support us, the Chairperson, on the lighter note.
Best of them, let us look together. Bangling, who's next?
It is Honorable April.
Okay.
Honorable Matulelwa.
Yeah.
Honorable Kruger.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. I would like to start by saying thank you to our researchers, Boo. You have really captured this report adequately and have highlighted all of the issues that we have.
Sorry, Honorable April. Sorry. Content advisor.
Our content advisor. Thank you very much for the correction. Appreciate it. Thank you for the correction, King. He has absolutely done a stunning job in terms of collecting and collaborating and expressing the views of the collective in a paper that would be the report. One is really impressed by it and would support the report that he has given. One would want to hear from the department if there is any consequence management that has already happened. Is there anything that they have done in the interim? We want to hear, is there precaution taken so that this thing doesn't continue? And while we are saying that 3 months will be given for feedback to be given by them, what is immediately happening to ensure that the status quo does not remain and our people who is intended to benefit from these budgets that we approve in Parliament is the actual beneficiaries. One is also worried that at this juncture where we are and the state that we are in, that foreign nationals are still running us amok. I think one of the very important things that this portfolio committee must also look at is the structure within CIFA, as it were, and maybe the department also to a large extent, of who is employed. You'd find that in many of the top positions in CIFA and in the department, there is foreign nationals that is employed by CIFA in particular. and the other the agencies and department, as it were. Now, one doesn't want to sound a be an alarmist or sound xenophobic when one raises a point that
If it's possible, Chairperson, we can go to Parliament and get and see them physically. They must come physical. So it can't be a person committed a fraud while the minister was in telecommunications. Now the same person now is reappointed in CIFA in this department, and is there as a board member. How does this this government work, man? Chairperson, thank you so much. Thank you, colleague. I'm shocked. I'm very shocked.
Thank you, but do you support the report, Honorable Natulele?
Yes, Mama. It's proper, ma. It's proper. Yeah, but please add all of these things that we also say that even the commissions of inquiry, please. They must do fast their thing so that people are arrested. Thank you.
Thank you. Our message is clear. We need investigation and all those fraudulent activities. Again, I support you on the issue of the board member because it was brought to my attention. And maybe that you are bringing it now to the committee. So what I will recommend is for our secretary to write a letter to the department and ask about that matter, attaching that particular a newspaper which has published the very same matter you are speaking about, because it's our responsibility to defend the integrity of this country. You are totally right on that one. And also to support you that why this committee in particular is not being involved when boards are being appointed, because other committees that are doing interviews, they're the ones who are in charge. Hence, we find ourselves into this situation. So I believe your point, Honorable Matulela, they carry much water. I'm happy you are now fighting the flesh, no longer the bone. Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and also my appreciation to SBU for the report. I know him quite a long time now, and all his reports, Madam Chair, I can promise you, you can trust that man with a report. It will also be always be 100%, actually 120%. But Madam Chair, and of course the DA support the report. I just want to add another recommendation. While the Small Business Development went on this oversight, I went with agriculture on oversight in Mpumalanga. Madam Chair, and I can promise you, it's the same thing, just a different department. And if you ask also King and Spoo, in the fifth parliament, we also picked up this problems. And I mean, we in the sixth parliament now, and officials are still carry on taking food out of the mouth of our people on the ground. So my proposal that what we must add as a recommendation to this report is that lifestyle audits must be all those people working with government money and small businesses, small farmers, small chemists, whatever small entity that needs money, and whichever department are helping them with finance. All those officials working in those departments must do a lifestyle audits on it. Because I saw the type of vehicles that government officials arrive when we do oversight. Madam Chair, and either government is paying very well, all the money is coming from elsewhere. So I want to propose that we add to the recommendations that lifestyle audits must be, we have to do lifestyle audits on all those people that have direct contact with people in financial need, and that what we want to help small businesses, small farmers, whatever. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. I believe our officials are jotting down each and every point which is being alluded into this platform. Honorable members, thank you for your contributions. Do we have any other member, Brakeng?
Yes, Chair, we had Honorable Tromelang.
Okay. Honorable Tromelang, the stage is yours.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to colleagues, Chair. I hope I'm audible, members.
You are audible.
Chairperson, thanks, ma'am. Chair, let me commend the collective of the PC led by yourself that has made a visit to the Northwest Province. And I want to agree with my colleague, because I was not part of the visit, and indicate to them that I received the condolences message. I'm fine, I'm healed, even though it will take time. Losing a mother in a very short space, you lose your father-in-law, but the message is received. However, Chair, I think I agree with my colleagues to say we need to expose all these things, because we might be saying there is a problem in the Northwest about the businesses that have been funded by CIFA, but the problem is we might leave others in other provinces. So I wanted to say I agree with all the recommendations made by the league, because we are expected to be the voice of the voiceless. Our people elected us into parliament so that we can represent them. There are many people, I think one of my colleagues said it, that even the tax shops are not doing well because of they cannot even sustain their own business, hence they are renting it to foreign and nationals. So I think we need to come up by the time when we are dealing with rectifying all these things of the legal and the corruption that has happened. If I think we must also pay attention to what is it that we can do to help our own people who have rented their spaza shops to foreign nationals, to retain them, because they wanted to have bread on their tables to feed their families. So I think they didn't want to rent it, but they were forced by circumstances. But other than that, I appreciate the report, and I think even if when I was not part of the report, I think it was very, very detailed from the content advisor, Chair. Thank you, Chair. That is my submission.
Thank you, Honorable Tromelang. Thanks to Honorable Members for the efforts done by your good self. That oversight visit has been a historical one from my side. I'm a long-serving member in Parliament, but I have never undergone such an oversight. Thanks to our officials, you made us to stand on our toes, and we really appreciate this observation, findings, and recommendations. I'm really happy about your commitment, my honorable members. You are making me proud. I said in this portfolio committee, we are honored members of all of us were not really here to come and grandstand on issues of a partisan, and it's exactly what you are doing. You're so correct, Honorable Tromelani. We are here to champion for our poor people on the ground. They are voiceless. We need to take their voices up. So I believe those recommendations are being taken into cognizance. We are going to have virtual meetings, where possible, we'll also visit other provinces physically, because we still have got time. Our general elections are next year. So thank you so much, and thanks to SMO and the entire team. We don't take your work or your efforts unnoticed. We are really blessed to have you on our side, because you are really assisting us as members. Thank you so much. So I'm happy the report will be tabled to Parliament, and within that particular 3 months, we'll be waiting for a lot of jibes from the department and its agency. We are doing it for the sake of our society. We are not personal on these matters, but I think it's our responsibility to do oversight as well as we're doing it in a professional way, as long as we're doing it in line with the rules of the house. So thank you so much. The report has been adopted. And can we move now to the next item? Braking, can you take us back to our agenda? Or are you going to take us through minutes?
There's a hand from Honorable Kruger.
Honorable Kruger.
I wanted to check whether Mr. Kume, there isn't anything that he will want to respond on what has been raised by members. Thank you, Chair.
I believe there is no response here. He is only to say that he is noting, but I will allow him to do that because the two drafts were given on time to us, and I'm happy honourable members really deliberated on the report itself. But I will give him time really to say something, even to thank members. Because if you have done something good and people are talking about you, indeed you will have to respond, even just to say thanks, honourable members, for having confidence unto me. So, honourable Kruger, unless you are coming up with any other issue, because I believe I'm done with this one, and I wrap up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, Madam Chair, no, I'm not going to come up with something new. I just want to just make sure of the process, because surely there's some new amendments with the recommendations. So so the report can't be 100% final. We still need to see all the recommendations that was done today and was made today. So I propose that we just circulate the final report and then adopt it when all the amendments has been added to the report. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, it does make sense. You want a circulation of the report with the added amendments. I think you are correct. Thanks, Veteran. Thanks, your experience is assisting the portfolio committee. It does make sense what you have said. Thank you, Honorable Kruger. That's how I believe in elder people to be part of us all the time. I think the young lions are learning from your experience. Thank you, Honorable Kruger. Who else was hand up? It was only Honorable Kruger alone.
Yes, Chair, it was only Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. And then, Spo, my son, you heard us with those additions. What is your comment?
No, Chairperson, it's fine. We'll do that. Even though the committee can adopt subject to, including those additional recommendations, because from where I'm sitting, there are three additional recommendations which we must include in the report. Then there is an instruction to the secretariat with regards to a board member that has been appointed at CIFA. That one will not form part of the recommendation. It will only form part of the minutes. To say the secretariat must then maybe write to the minister to request clarity on the board member that has been appointed, an additional board member that has been appointed at CIFA. So it's up to the members. It's up to Honorable Kruger maybe to tweak it here and there. But from what we have done in the past, we would say we adopt the report on condition that those additional recommendations are included. Of which, as a secretariat, we will then do with blocking. I'm not sure if Honorable Kruger, I'm in order. And also, maybe just to add, Chairperson, we need a mover for the adoption, and then in fact, we need someone to move for the adoption. That would be the correct procedure in terms of the document. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Esbu. Honorable Kruger, if I heard him well, he said after this session. He would like to see a report circulating, including those amendments. He is not disputing that we adopt the report. I believe I heard him well. Honorable Kruger, I believe I'm quoting you correctly. Can you respond?
Before I have the same.
Can you now move for the adoption, Honorable Kruger?
Ma'am Chair, unfortunately, I wasn't at the oversight.
Any member who was part of the oversight, can I have a mover, Honorable Members?
Chair, it's Faiz. I move for the adoption, Chair.
Thank you. Any seconder, Honorable Members? I second, Chair. Thank you. Libengo second. The report is duly adopted with its amendment. Thank you so much, Honorable Members. Can we now move to the next item, which is minutes. Just take us through. We read the minutes. Go page by page.
These are the minutes of the 10th of May, 2023, where we were tabling, considering and adopting the 2023 budget vote report, vote 36 of the Department of Small Business Development. And it was the tabling and adoption and the first tabling of the Northwest Oversight Report. That is page one. Page two.
Any corrections, Honorable Members, on the page two? Move. Any corrections? Next page. Only any correction, Honorable Members? Just move right here. Can I move for the adoption of the minutes? To those who are present. Honorable Jacobs.
I support, I move for the adoption of this minister.
Any seconder, Honorable Members, to those who are present.
I support, Chair.
Thank you. Then we move to the next set.
Chairperson, these are the minutes of the 15th of March, 2023, where the committee was being, the department was being, briefing the committee on the red tape unit and the adoption of minutes of 1 and 8 March, 2023. And progress on the Northwest oversight visit that was during the preparation for the visit. That is the page one.
Any corruption? Correction. Honourable Member. Thank you. Honourable Debo, any second? Thank you.
Chair, these are the minutes of Tuesday, 18 April 2023, when the committee was considering the first, the second term committee program. I'm sorry. We are losing you, Chair. Chairperson, we can't hear you. Honourable members, I think we have lost the chairperson, so I don't know whether can we proceed with the three set of minutes that are outstanding. We have lost the chairperson. I think it's just indicated that she was running to airport. I think that's the reason.
Okay.
These are the minutes of the
King. Before you put it, I propose that since the chairperson is gone, that
my honourable member there. Let's continue with the minutes. Thanks for this. I know our chair is also travelling, so let's try to conclude our meeting. Please proceed down, Mr. King.
Yeah.
Members, here's the minutes. Can I get a second, a move and a second, please?
I'll move.
I second.
Just for record purpose, can we just get your names? I couldn't see who was moving and who was seconding. Please, repeat.
Of course.
Greetings, thanks, Nkosi. So Nkosi moved, and was it Miyeni that second?
No, that's April.
April that second. Thank you so much, comrades. Is this the next set of minutes that we are going through?
Yes, Chair. Yes. This one, Chair, they are of 19 April 2023, when we're getting the strategic annual performance and budget plan of the department and then and of CEDA in preparation for the budget vote report.
Thank you, members. Here we have it. Here's the set of minutes. Can I get a mover?
Yeah, I move on the adoption of the previous meeting.
Thank you, Honorable Lupengo. Can I get a seconder?
That's Honorable Mieni, 2 seconds.
Thank you, Honorable Mieni. The minutes is duly seconded and supported. Is that the end of the minutes?
Not yet.
Okay.
With a lot of minutes that we think we're going to. These are the minutes, Chairperson, of the 22nd of March, 2023, where we were getting the quarter three performance report of the department, CIFA and CEDA.
I move, King, for the...
Is it Honorable Mieni?
No, it's Honorable April.
April.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. Can we...
Second that?
Can we... Call
I second.
Thank you, Honorable Lubengo.
I think we'll go to the last one, Chair.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, no. Sorry, Chair. That was the last set.
Okay.
Yes, the last one. 24.
Okay. Then we've adopted all the minutes, and then the next point on the agenda is the update on the German study tour, progress on the preparations on the German study tour. Who's leading this item?
I think chair was supposed to be led by the chairperson to to report on the outcome of the engagement that the chairperson had been requested to engage the House chairperson out of the meeting that we had on Friday. So since she's not here, maybe.
I'm back seeing. It's only that where I am, I'm driving, network is poor, and I've just received the bad news. My sister's son was involved in a car accident around Save, and he has just passed on. They've just phoned me now. So, but I'll try to brief the portfolio committee on the outcome between my meeting with the chair of chairs as requested by the committee that I must go and appeal that if maybe they had two members as well as to get reasons why that memo. So the response has been that it's a decision of the speaker after she has engaged with all the stakeholders in parliament. The reason being that the embassy no longer assisting members outside the country with resources. So it is very difficult for the parliament to can pay for such a huge budget, examples of ground transport, accommodation, etc. So he said it's a blanket approach which affects all the committees. However, he requested me to write again and request, plead with the speaker if we may get other two members. But the notion of rejecting the trip, they told me that, Chairperson, you have got no powers with your committee. You are an extension of parliament. It's only the speaker who can grant and who can reject anything. So I evenly consulted the chief whip of the majority. I got the very same answers. So I have requested my officials to request, in case they agree, we'll add two members out of that five. But for now, it stands as it is. And I have once requested the opposition party, EFF and the DA, to give me two members who should accompany the five to go to German. In other words, the advice or the mandate from the chair of chairs and the speaker's office is that we are going, but they will consider my request. We have done so. So this is the report which I can put before the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
I would like Honorable Jacobs to continue sharing. Network is not right where I'm driving, comrade. I'm driving to the airport. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and thank you for that report. We appreciate that. So just to recap, our numbers are reduced. It does make sense also to continue the exchange and study learning program, but obviously trying to within budget and also trying to do things within the scale that is required that Parliament has suggested. So that is where we are, members. Can I just hear from members? Chair, we did receive your request for our names. Let me check. Is there any inputs on this matter? Comrade Somelang.
Thank you, Acting Chair. So I think the explanation of the chairperson is very clear, but however, one will wish to say, as much as there is an explanation that we cannot exceed by from the PEC, the motivation, I think he must just try to write that motivation, but for now we must prepare five that has been approved by the parliament, because other committees have been going, and only five have been going from other committees. But I don't want us to behave like other committees. Maybe we may be the luckiest, because they said he must write a motivation. Because I think all of us, if we go the majority, if we go as majority, maybe if one has missed something, because I think it will be a learning to the portfolio committee, others can grasp it. But Chair, let's accept the explanation and the
Thank you, Honorable Chloe Lam.
And
I think
encourage her to just prepare again according to the way. But
my apologies, I thought you were done. Honorable Chloe Lam, are you complete?
I'm done, sir. I was concluded, I'm done. I've not left
okay.
Any.
All right, thank you very much. Members, I think what we'll do is we'll note the report from our chairperson with the chair of chairs, and then the portfolio committee and the officials will engage with political parties accordingly. So I think let's leave it there. I think we've got the report to this effect. Members, if there's no other issues, I think we have come to the end of our session. Mr. King, can you confirm there's no other agenda point? Okay, good. So, members, thank you very much. We've come to the end of the session. I want to encourage the chair to travel safely. All of us be safe and continue to serve our people. Thank you very much, everybody. The meeting stand adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.
Acting Chair? Acting Chairperson?
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, I think when I not paying him for coffee.
Say again?
I think we had an agreement that you are taking him for coffee. That's
I'm taking him for coffee. Later on, I'm taking him for supper. I see. Hey, I'm so happy he has joined the Red Beret now. But also, if that coffee thing, I'll bring the form, the membership form. I'm so happy about my acting chair today. Very happy.
Lucky.
Hello, Kev.
Hello.